Bob warned me that this was a highly technological tool that I probably would be unfamiliar with. He showed me how to push this button right here. Thank y'all for singing that last song, especially this Sunday. We had a great day right down the road. I know y'all did here too. I remember back, I think it was your last Sunday, and it was the Sunday before we were supposed to start over at St. Paul's, so we came, for some reason, we came here. But it was so good, and I forget who was sitting right there in front of us, and she didn't know who Karen and I were, but she paid y'all the highest, or she really paid the Lord the highest compliment. She turned around right at the end of the service and goes, "You just got to come back. The Spirit is here every Sunday, and you're just going to love it. So you got to come back." I didn't want to tell her, too bad, so sad. I got another place I got to go start next Sunday, but I'm back. But no, this Sunday we had a big time. Had friends over. I'll say it that away. Came and helped us. Instrumentalists that came, and I got to meet some of them this week, and we played and sang, and it was our day of total praise. We're going to bring total praise on up here, up the road here on November the 18th. So looking forward to that. And then after church, just for fun, I said we were going to Churchville to have baptism in the water, the cold water, Sunday morning. And my trusty chair stood up, and I didn't hear him because he stepped and I stepped back. He goes, "That for those of y'all who live around here, that means we're going to Churchville, not Churchville. You know, I just want to let y'all know." You know, I found out it was Weir's Cave and not Wire's Cave. I knew it was Stanton, but I still have to tell my telephone Staunton. Otherwise, it shows me a place in North Carolina. So I'm learning. I'm learning as we go. But we had a great time. A young lady stepped out into the water with me and went under. She went all the way under. I just stayed about this deep. But, you know, came on into the kingdom. And it was great. It was great. And it's good to be here tonight. I want to read our scripture, and then I'll sing the song. When Bob told me what the theme was, I really didn't have time to think about it, but I really didn't. And the Lord said, "Go ahead and tell him these verses, and then I'll tell you something about them as you go along." But I'm going to start back just up at verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. And read through the end of that chapter, please. How many of you got a Bible ready to go with me? All right. Now, you can keep your phone on silent, but if you need to, you can look up blueletterbible.org and it'll find it right there, you know, but no. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." You know, she didn't have the... I stop right here just for a second. Jesus would have had to told her. You know why, don't you? Because she wasn't already up. Y'all use that at y'all's house? While you're up, come help me. That didn't work. That didn't work that day. That wasn't going to work. And Jesus knew it wouldn't. But he goes, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Tonight we just want to again see, Lord, how we can come to you without a single distraction. How we can cling to you with nothing standing between us and you. We want to come fully into your presence. We want your Holy Spirit to rule and reign in our hearts. We want to be led by the Spirit. We're going to forsake forever tonight, trying to guide our own lives or go by what our puny mind can come up with. We want to settle ourselves in on trust in you. Thank you that we can. Thank you that we can do the one thing that is needed. The one thing even that you promise here cannot be taken away from us. And so we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The song I want to sing is from the ministry that my friend Butch Taylor and I do each month. If you want to join me online, ask me later how you can. If you want to we do CDs every quarter, and eventually everything gets some kind of way put together. But this song is from Psalm 42, and it's just a reflection of what the words say. It just says, Lord, I long after you. Because in this world, Lord, what else am I going to be longing for? If you can crank that up, because I like that to be as loud or louder than me, just for record, just to go on the record and say.
I'm with you.
Huh?
I like it loud.
Yeah, I want it up.
You have to hear it.
Butch did a good job with this one. We let everybody hear it. It was starting. Yep, there it goes again. This is what you call a foretaste of glory divine. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, ever thirsty living Father, for all you do. Yes, my tears, they are my diet, as my soul is distressed. So I run to you, my Father, and I confess. This is the best part. You are my rock, my strength, my hope, my fortress. And I will live and breathe to offer you my praise. Your song is in my heart, even in the darkest night time. Your loving kindness goes with me through all my days. I long for you. I long for you. The world around me rages, and they ask, where is your God? Their anger stirred up against me, their heart is hard. They can't see, Lord, how you're faithful. Don't believe you are kind. Their heart is twisted and angry. So I'll remind them, Lord. You are my rock, my strength, my hope, my fortress. And I will live and breathe to offer you my praise. Your song is in my heart, Even in the darkest night time, your loving kindness goes with me through all my days. I long for you. I long for you. You are my rock, my strength, my hope, my fortress. And I will live and breathe to offer you my praise. Your song is in my heart, even in the darkest night time. Your loving kindness goes with me through all my days. I long after you. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. What does he say? We bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Don't forget any of his benefits. Because what does he do? He forgives. He heals. He satisfies. He fills our life up with good things. He renews our youth like the eagles. I need to talk to an eagle to see how their youth gets renewed. I ain't sure. You know, I'm still working on that one. But the Lord is going to teach us something good tonight. Tell somebody close to you or just tell yourself, God's going to teach me something good tonight. I'm going to learn something good. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But I got a list of 42 things that will really be helpful for you, since we did Psalm 42. No, he does not say that. What does Jesus say? But only, how many?
One
thing is needed. You know, I think I've come to the conclusion, as I've gotten older, especially this last year or so, it hit me the beginning of the year, I found the reason why as we get older we start forgetting things. And you know why it is, don't you? Some of y'all think it's like a physical thing. It's not. Now it might have become that, but that ain't how it started. I think the reason we get like that is because how many things are needful? We keep on adding to the list. And God's trying to get us back to the one thing. Just something to think about. Tonight, our letter, we're not on Sesame Street. It's almost like a drum roll, but not exactly.
It just happens sometimes.
I know it. Our letter is the letter T. Help us remember everything we're going to talk about tonight. And you see it right there. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset. My King James Version said, you are troubled about many things. We live in an age of trouble. Nothing new about that. And what happens, the one thing that is needful in this age of trouble is that we choose the Word of God rather than let the Word of God be choked in us. This world of trouble, this age that we're living in, this present evil age, the way the Bible talks about it, is an age that wants to choke the Word. I mean, if you get the Word in you at all, that's what it wants to do. I mean, if it can take it away before you even got it, that's the best. That's the best way the world can deal with you. If the word comes to you and like, oh man, is this good or what? But you never really get rooted to it. And anything that happens, any kind of thing that you didn't expect or anything, you just, oh well, maybe it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And it's gone. And you're stuck right back in the same sad place you were when you got started. But that other thing, he said, Jesus says, the sower sows the word and it gets into the soil that's got just filled up with thorns. And Martha had thorns going on in her house. She probably called them dishes and food and something else. But they were thorns growing up. And Jesus said, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But again, only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better. So Jesus is just saying flat out, it's better to get the word of God in you than it is to worry. It's better to be able to trust and know the word of God than it is to be deceived by the deceitfulness of somebody that's got more than you got. Or says they know more than you. Well, big whoop if you know more than I do. I know the one thing I need. Somebody ought to say amen. I ain't got to learn but one thing. But even the desires of this world, the Bible says, that come in and try to choke the word, we can choose not to have anything to do with that at all. Do you have to worry about anything? No. God's already said, don't worry about anything. But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, Lord, thank you. Got that one. Check that one off. Then he goes, you know, in this age of trouble, there's, like I said, deceit everywhere. But Jesus said, my word, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. They're words of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come on now. Come on with me. Do I have to be deceived by anything? I might be turned out of the way a little bit, but I can always get back on the road again real fast. You know, I'm a man and I can even ask for directions if I need them. I learned that too. Maybe a little too late in my marriage, but I learned it. But we live in an age of trouble. And we're in trouble because we've tried to make up something more than is needful. All we will ever need to do is give everything over to Jesus. All to Jesus. I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence, daily live. And I need to remember that because He says, in this world you shall have trouble, but don't worry about it. I've overcome all that. But not only is it an age of trouble, it's an age, I know we realize it, but we don't act like it. It's an age that when everything is temporary, it just is. What does Paul say? The flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Can't do it. Can't get there. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal, all that's mortal, got to put on immortality, or what happens to it? What happens if something stays mortal? I've got a guy in church that I go visit pretty regular. He had knee trouble this summer and still got stuff going on. He likes green bananas. I ain't got to worry about anything corrupting on his watch in his room. And, you know, I bring them over there to him and they are gone before they have a chance to even show spots. But there's very few people like that. Some of y'all are already kind of cringing against that. But God says, I've got to work in you so that I can put what's eternal in you. What's the verse everybody knows? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't be stuck in what's temporary. But would have eternal, everlasting life. There's three things that have to happen to us for us to overcome all that is temporary. And I'm just going to tell you, we are creatures of the creatures of just, I got this. I know how to do this. You don't know diddly squat. You just don't. We know very little. I mean, we really do. Eye has not seen nor ear has heard what the Father has in store for those who love him. But there's three things that's got to happen in us. Number one, there's got to be a translation of our life from the temporal, from what's temporary to what's eternal. That's one of the glorious things, one of the first things that the Bible tells about what Jesus does for us when he dies for us on the cross, that works in us to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Oh, that will be glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face. And it won't be a little temporary sighting. My children and I went on a whirlwind tour one time of the country. Wanted to see how much we could see in 6 days. We went out to pick up my daughter at her grandmother's in Nashville back then. And we talked her into going with my youngest son and I. Now, don't y'all get tired. We left Sunday after church, Sunday afternoon. We drove up, thought we'd started off right. We drove up from Nashville to Ramsey, Illinois. Oh, I'd like to go see a place they named after me, you know? And we stayed at Ramsey Lake State Park. And just to keep us humble, we had a torrential downpour right after we got camp set up. We got soaking wet, and they were like, Daddy, please don't make us do that again tomorrow night. No, please. We left there, went down, saw the world's largest ketchup bottle as we went down to St. Louis and the Arch. Daddy, can we go up in the Arch? No, we can't afford that. No, we ain't got time anyway. We got to go. We're trying to see how much we can see. But there's the museum down there in the bottom of it, so you can walk around and look at the stuffed buffalo and all that good stuff. And we went from there up to Iowa. We stayed at a little place called Mount Washington. Y'all know the bridges of Madison County? Did y'all also know that was where John Wayne was born and raised? I didn't. Then we drove from there over to Vermilion, South Dakota. Did y'all know that the National Museum of Music is there? Three floors of nothing. Instruments, and you wear the little headphones, and they tell you where each of them started and came from. Did you know that we think everything is in order in this world. Sometimes we act like, oh yeah, I just want to stay here. I'd be so much better off here where everything is dying, where everything is decaying, where, you know, maybe I'll turn to dust and that'll be it. What a goal. But no, I didn't realize it. Going through the museum, did you know that there was no standard for what this was, or this, 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 until 1898? It's just whatever anybody wanted it to be up until then. Oh, when I come. That's why we're coming here tonight to repent, right now. But no. Yeah. Oh, God. But no. No, the world was, it set its own standards. The problem is they found out when you do that, you can't play together. They had nothing to tune by. They had all these big, the brass bands everywhere in the world. And they had a world expo of brass bands. People met, came from all over the world and met in Paris in 1898. And they had to decide, we got to have a standard. This will be an A. When we make this noise, this will be an A. A standard 440, whatever the thing is. That wasn't, well, they didn't do that till 1898. God says you got to be translated out of all that setting your own standard stuff. I've set the standard for you. It's high and lifted up. It's on a cross. It's there for everybody to see. It was put to shame, all the principalities and powers. Just said, take that. Boom. Throw the worst at me. Lay all the sin. Make him who knows no sin to be made sin for us. And he's still going to make everybody the righteousness of God just by trusting him. You put him in the grave, what's going to happen? He's going to show you the sign of Jonah, and in 3 days he's coming up. That's, y'all, the one thing you need to know. And get that translation from this temporary to where what's working in you, what guides your thoughts, what makes you who you are, is that you eternally belong to God through Jesus. Everything else works its way around that. Then he says you got to have a transformation occur in this temporary world. You got to transform your mind. He says that over in Romans chapter 12. He says, and he doesn't say you need to be transformed. He said, don't be conformed anymore, any longer, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So what's the implication? If you don't get your mind transformed, you will never know what's good. You will make up something. You will fall prey to the trouble of that deceitfulness that's going all around. Everybody's infected with it. Everybody's good. We're all children of God. Big fat lie. It is. It's a big fat lie. And who's the biggest liar? The church. We don't tell people you need to repent and get out of that temporary way of looking at things. Get your selfish turned around and right with God. Oh, you're fine already. Oh, we just love you. I remember my evangelist friend back in the, I guess it was the late 70s. Y'all remember the season of Smile, God Loves You? My evangelist friend, I love him. He can talk way faster than I can, but his accent's not as bad as mine. So, Harold Vaughn, he said, you know what the difference is in this generation and all generations before us? Our generation will go to hell with a smile on their face. Because we told them, smile, God loves you. But we never told them they had to repent so they could honor God, so they could live an eternal life rather than this temporary thing they were trying to do. Their little gig. We got to get serious about this stuff, folks. Temporary means its time is running out. Jesus, when he started his ministry, said the time has run out. Time is fulfilled. The kingdom is near. Repent and believe the good news. And so there has to be that transformation. And then finally, there has to be a work where God makes us, I say, a transparent people, where the light of Jesus can shine through us. If you'll turn over to Philippians chapter 2. It's right there. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now notice Paul does not say, what we want you to do now that you're a Christian is work out every situation just the best you can. And maybe if you work out every situation, you'll get saved. No, he says, work out your salvation. Don't work out your situation. Your situation's always going to be messed up some kind of way. You waiting for your situation to get right before everything else does, you're never going to get right. Y'all know how that works. By the time you sort of cut off the last layer, the doggone flood has come and brought 5 tons of sediment to jump on your life. I thought I had that worked out. Anybody that's had children knows exactly what I'm talking about. But he says, for it is God who works in you. Somebody get excited. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? Because you're just a transparent now vessel of the Lord. You're not here to defend yourself. You're here to show off Jesus. What have I got to defend? The worst you can do to me is kill me and I get to go be with him. Come on, bring it on, bring it on. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold on to the word of life. Paul says, you hold on. Do that one thing that is needful. Hold on to the word of life. Just let me shine through you. Hold on to the word of life and let me shine through you. Because look, this age, this place, this time in which we're living, it's all temporary. It's going to soon pass away. They said when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's what we want people to see. In us, to see something that is eternal in the midst of all that is temporary. And finally, tonight, not only is it a time of trouble where the one thing needful is just to let the Word of God come in, soak it up. You know, we are the most blessed people, I guess, in some ways, of any generation that's ever been. I was telling somebody earlier, brother over here, any of y'all got a computer? Just a curiosity. Any of you got a phone? You probably got a computer on it, unless you're doing the Dano, you know, thing. But you can go and you can listen to preaching anytime you want. I love Derek Prince. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he's still sharing the word. Now, I tell you what. You get on there, there's a whole lot of other things there that not so needful that you can watch too. And Lord help us. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Careful, little feet, where you go. But not only is this time a time of trouble and a time that's just temporary, I mean, it is. It's a time for us to be turning, always turning to the Lord. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 says it this way. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform. Again, you didn't want to conform to the deceitfulness of the world. You certainly didn't want to conform to the anxiety in the world. You know, you can turn off the TV. It has an on and an off switch. Or he says, do not, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And since you call on a Father who judges each person without respect to who the person is, just as the same yesterday, today, and forever, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Now that word is one of my favorite words in all the Greek language. I went and got my conference physical today, Bob. I wasn't sure I was even going to get a doctor up here, but I got one and I got my physical all in the same morning. But they wanted me to take the flu shot. I told them I didn't need the flu shot. I get around everybody that's got the flu. What do I need the flu shot for? I got all kinds of ways of building up my immunity. I'm a preacher. I'm serious. There's only one thing I want to get in a contagious way. That's the Holy Spirit. I want the Word of God to get in me like a contagion spreading all over the place. And that's what this word, when God says, Peter's talked to him, you strangers, you pilgrims, I think is one translation. You know where we get, you know what the word is in English? You who've become part of the epidemic. The epidema. The epidemic of grace. It's gone into the world because of Jesus. You've become part of the epidemic. Act like you, sick of this world and all fevered up about the one that's working in you. That's what he says. Live your lives as those who are caught up in the epidemic of grace. In reverent fear. For you know that it wasn't some temporary fix that God worked in you. It wasn't with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead, glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Yeah, we live in a time of trouble. We live in a time that's temporary. We ought to be living and making it a time of turning to the Lord. He says, for all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this, I sort of say, by the way, this is the word that was preached to you. Who's got it? It was preached to you. Do you have it? If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you got it, yeah, we can act like it. If anybody asks you, what's wrong with you? It's part of the epidemic. Did you hear about it? It started at the cross. Actually, it started before the creation of the world, because God, even before the founding of the earth, said, I'm going to send him for you. What's wrong with you? Oh, I'm just part of the epidemic. I'm all fevered up, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is good, because it's going to endure forever. Nothing can overcome it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. we praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is gone now, but He's coming back. Hallelujah! Thine the glory. Hallelujah! Amen. Hallelujah. Yours is all, give all the glory to the Lord. And Lord, revive us again. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight. Yeah, Lord, we notice that we live in a time of trouble. We live in a time where people chase little fads, little whatever. They're going to be gone pretty soon. Something else will rise up in its place. Deliver us from all of that. Let us be the ones who have turned to You. The closing hymn, Lord, says, softly and tenderly You are calling. Calling for us to come home. However we need to do that tonight, that's what we want to do. If we just stumbled and fallen or gotten distracted, we need to get back to that one thing that is needful. Lord, we can do that tonight. The altar is just right here for us just to say, make a break from where we would just sit and say it is, you know, hey, Lord, I know it is what it is. No, it can be more. It can be what He wants it to be. So, Father, we come to You tonight for that. We come if we've gotten stuck, Lord, in our own way of looking at things. We come tonight if we've blamed anybody for anything that's going on in us. Because we can't change anything if it's somebody else's fault. So we have to take responsibility for ourselves tonight. And maybe we've just gotten in a place, Lord, that we look around and we see so much stuff going on, we feel like we just got to raise the walls and hide. But can anything affect us in any stronger way than the epidemic of grace that's already come into our lives by Jesus? Our job now is just to go infect somebody else with that. Some of us just may have to repent of our shyness tonight. Repent of our lack of zeal, our lack of our prayerlessness. Say, God, I will make a place. I want to get to a place where I long after You and You satisfy me with good things. Satisfy me with Your presence. And I'll be satisfied. Behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in His temple. That, Lord, just let that be our plea tonight. As we sing this song, Lord, just let us come to You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 348.
Please stand and join me in singing 348, softly and tenderly, Jesus.
Just want to take a moment to thank you for coming out tonight. I hope that, this was a wonderful message. It's a message we need to hear repeatedly. It's only one thing that's necessary. My cousin Wilson Stone, I put out for prayers for him. He was operated on today, and the last I heard, he was doing okay. This was brain surgery. He is the minority whip in the state legislature. I'm having a hard time. Is it legislature in Kentucky? And I won't tell you what party, but Wilson is a few years older than me. He had a younger brother, and I was hearing Norman preach this evening. I was thinking about how it seemed like just yesterday that we were playing basketball in the loft at their hay barn there in Kentucky with his younger brother, who was my age, who died when he was 18 in a car accident. And then Wilson had a daughter who died from a brain tumor when she was in high school. And I went to that funeral back in 2001. And just thinking about the message, and the song came to me, time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth alone can stand. Fix your heart on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And how many of us are so People are so depressed. You know, you hear in the news all the time about all the depression in this country. Part of it's because we feel time swiftly going past, and we see the changes around us, and we feel out of control. Jesus Christ is the only one who can keep our lives together, whose hand we can hold to and know that we can get through every transition of life. And so everything, amen to Norm, amen to that message, amen to God's word that he shared this evening. I hope you'll come tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening will be a night of praise, to praise Jesus for what he has done for us. And then Thursday evening, David will be here. And then Sunday evening, Sunday morning, we have a really gifted but long-winded preacher going to be here on Sunday morning. So, I'm not sure what the gift is, but we want to go out tonight with the blessings of God before upon us. Dear Lord, as we go forth, may we go with your Spirit in our hearts. May, Father, we feel the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, all around us. And may we know, Father, as Norm has reminded us, that yes, you love us, but Father, your love drives you to ask us to please make the choice to follow you in your paths of righteousness, to follow you, Lord, and allow you to make us holy in your Spirit and to live right lives, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to know that he alone is worthy of our praise. He alone knows the way home to you. Father, may we go home this evening knowing that we are safe in your arms. And amen.